Welcome to Talking Healthcare, insights from global leaders. Produced by the International Hospital Federation, the Talking Healthcare podcast series features healthcare leaders and executives from the IHF's global community, sharing their expertise, knowledge, and insights into cutting-edge topics in healthcare. In this episode, we continue to explore the themes in our Big Data roadmap. We will hear from Dr. Sujoy Kaur, member of the Big Data SIG Steering Committee, in conversation with Joseph Teckett from the Joint Commission on the key issues relating to data collection for hospital leaders.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast brought to you by the IHF Harnessing Big Data Special Interest Group. My name is David Levine, Chief Medical Officer, and I work at Vizient, who's the proud sponsor of this group. As a major U.S. healthcare performance improvement company, how and why we collect data are essential questions for us. With access to huge amounts of data, it is vital that we look at what data we are collecting and why, the quality of data, and how we clean it up. Providers need to trust the data to be able to make meaningful change to improve healthcare.
Thank you. I am Dr. Sujoy Kaur from Apollo Hospitals. I am the Chief Medical Information Officer at Apollo Hospitals, and I work for designing, developing, and deploying clinical AI solutions within the organization and beyond. It is truly a pleasure to join today's podcast. I have with me Mr. Joseph Teckett from the Joint Commission. Joseph, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Sujoy. My name is Joseph Teckett. I am the Director of Advanced Analytics, BI and Data Operations at Joint Commission. And it's been an incredible journey with Joint Commission, what we are doing to shape the healthcare in US and international markets as well. And thank you for having me on this platform today, and pleasure to share all the knowledge in the data space. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph, for the introduction. And let's just get it with the business. In the very beginning, Joseph, my question would be, you have been collecting healthcare data in various institutions for almost, you know, a couple of decades or even more than that. What do we actually mean when we talk about data collection in healthcare? Is it just about looking at the patient medical records? And what's the purpose of collecting them, if you could tell us about that?
Absolutely, Sujoy. I think it's very critical to know what we are doing in the healthcare space and what problems we are trying to address. When we talk about Joint Commission, the mission of Joint Commission is to continuously improve healthcare for the public in collaboration with other stakeholders by evaluating healthcare organizations and inspiring them to excel in providing safe and effective care of highest quality to public. So being said that, Joint Commission plays a very significant role in shaping healthcare by setting standards and accrediting healthcare organizations in the United States and across the world. Here are some of the Joint Commission influences and types of data that we collect. We look at hospital systems in a way that we wanted to set higher quality and standards for hospitals. So Joint Commission develops and maintains rigorous standards of healthcare organizations across various areas like regular hospitals, ambulatory care, senior living, and all types of, you know, facilities where the healthcare care is provided to the public. And we look at patient care, safety, quality improvement, leadership, and these standards serve as benchmark for healthcare organizations to strive towards excellence in delivering care. Other avenues we collect data is through our accreditation process. Through this process, Joint Commission staff visit healthcare organizations and voluntarily seek accreditation from the Joint Commission to demonstrate their commitment to meeting high-quality standards of care. The accreditation process involves an evaluation of organizations' compliance with Joint Commission standards through on-site surveys, reviews, policies and procedures, performance measurements, and so forth. The other third pillar, I would say, is the quality improvement initiatives. Joint Commission promotes continuous quality improvement in healthcare by providing resources, education, and support for accredited organizations. It encourages a data-driven approach to identify areas of improvement, implement evidence-based practices, and monitor performance of healthcare organizations over time. We also collect patient safety data, right? So we look at patient safety as a paramount concern of Joint Commission. So we develop standards and initiatives aimed at reducing medical errors, preventing adverse events, improving patient outcomes, and so forth. And these initiatives includes like nation patient safety goals, which specifically focus on medication safety, infection control, patient communication, and so forth. So we look at all of these data sets, and then we come up with something called as a performance measurements of hospitals. So Joint Commission uses performance measurements data to evaluate healthcare organizations, their performance, benchmark their outcomes against national standards and trends, and identify opportunities for improvement. So this data-driven approach helps drive accountability and transparency in healthcare delivery. So to answer your question, Sujoy, we just don't look at the patient records. We look at the overall healthcare organization and landscape in the U.S., and we set standards through accreditation process to maintain the quality and care provided to the patients.
Fantastic. That was an incredible 360-degree view of the data that Joint Commission uses for not only from the accreditation purpose, but also from the routine patient safety quality improvement in healthcare organization. I want to go back and understand that there are so much of a high volume, high velocity data that has been collected across healthcare systems. But on the other hand, we have quality challenge in collecting the data in terms of, say, their accuracy, their completeness, their timeliness in doing that. How do you think an healthcare organization should find a balance and be aware of the implications of both? How do you try to balance volume and quality at Joint Commission?
That's a great question. Healthcare is a vast area, right? If you really look at the data sets, there's quite a lot of data that we get from different organizations, publicly available data, and so forth. So there are some imperatives we have set in Joint Commission to drive some of the initiatives and clearly maintain a balance between the volume and the quality, right? So one of the first step we do is to define a clear objective. Right. When you're starting a particular initiative or a project around a specific requirement, we start with clearly defining the objectives of data collection, understanding what specific questions you wanted to answer or what problems you seek to address helps in determining what appropriate volume and quality of data is required. Then the second thing I would give focus more on is the focus on relevance, right? Like when you're collecting data, we have a vast amount of data available. We wanted to prioritize collecting data which are relevant for the objectives you had set. This helps, you know, in avoiding unnecessary data overloads and ensure that the data is collected directly, contributing to addressing the key questions, right? And then the third step I would say is to utilize some sampling methods. So when we talk about sampling, there's different ways you can sample the data. Instead of collecting data from every possible source, consider some samples from each source and then do some experiments with it just to understand what does the data sets look like, what is the insight we can generate from it. And then I would call it as like a representative subset of data. And then looking at each subset of data and looking at what data set would give you the most value, then we go and acquire more of that particular data to answer specific questions. We have also invested quite a lot of into data infrastructure, particularly enhancing how we are collecting the data, how we are streaming the data from third parties, how we can ingest and share the data through FHIR, APIs, and all that. So we had invested quite a lot of in data structure for storing the data, processing it much faster, keeping it alive and streaming it from different sources, making these insights available for our end users much more faster manner. So we invested quite a lot of that. And then finally, I would say that quality assurance is one other important aspect of the data collection. Establishing a robust quality assurance measures to ensure the accuracy, completeness, and consistency of data is very, very important. This may also involve implementing data validation checks, conducting regular audits, having compliance reviews like HIPAA and GDPR and so forth, providing training to staff involved in data collection processes. All of that is part of the process. So I would say these are the four major steps that we had taken to make sure that at Joint Commission, we are having the right data sets to answer specific questions that our organization wanted to answer, and also be efficient and accurate in giving those insights back to the users.
Thank you. That was very comprehensive. But I would like to again go back to the question where collecting and connecting this massive data sets, whether you are doing this on premises or whether you are doing this on cloud-based EMR system, is a huge piece of work. And you talked about the infrastructure, tools, and skills that the hospital leaders need to have to actually do that. I would go into a little futuristic or moving into a more tech-intensive solutions like artificial intelligence and its use in preserving this data, storing this data, and then utilizing this data to get, clinical insights. What would be the views of Joint Commission, particularly with these emerging technologies, in order to maintain better and quality data sets at hospitals?
So this is a very, very important question at this point of time in healthcare, because there is quite a lot of data sets available in the healthcare world. There's paid data sets that you could get, which are a little bit more cleansed. There are open data sets which are produced as part of various projects, which are not really scrubbed or cleansed. And you have a traditional data set which is being collected within the organization through accreditation processes. So when you think about all three different data sets, which I mentioned, there's no easy way you could merge all of them together, right? So we are using some advanced techniques to merge these data sets. We are exploring something called as knowledge graphs, which is kind of a new theme in the AI world to understand the AI capabilities, which can, read unknown fuzzy logic mechanisms to merge these data sets where you don't have a traditional keys to map these records, right? So we are using AI to help us out in a big way, right? So there's knowledge graph that we are building. One other advantage of knowledge graph is that usual process of data processing is that you collect the data from a third party, you process it, and then you go through an ETL and BI and advanced analytics landscapes to process this and make it available for end users. In terms of knowledge graph, you don't need to really process any data. Data can stay where it is, and then you can still draw insights through a natural language processing mechanisms. So we are using AI capabilities there. We are also trying to use generative AI, OpenAI type of technologies to standardize the data across to make sure that, some of the textual data can be inferred, summarized in a much efficient way instead of a person going and reading and collating this information and creating summaries. So we are using some of the latest technologies to help us out here, which used to be a mundane process before.
Fantastic. I would just like to add my perspective here and what we do with these huge amount of, as I said, high volume, high velocity, and highly variable data, because we have to understand that in healthcare, we are going to get, data from EMR, then lab values, then you have images, medication data, now more and more genomics data. All of these are now, coming in, streaming in at a very high velocity for clinicians to make decisions. So you talked about the knowledge graph, and we have been working on knowledge graph for the past three and a half years here at Apollo. Then, 8-step process, and I'll just go about in giving an illustration of these 8 steps in next 1.5 minutes. To actually start with entity recognition, where in massive data sets, which has billions and billions of data points to identify clinical entities, whether it could be a symptom or a lab test or a diagnosis or a procedure, and then move on to the next step, which is called as the disambiguation, where you begin to actually link them. So you link between cough and pneumonia and pneumonia and consolidation and consolidation and, what is the associated WBC count. The third thing is about, look at the assertion, because many of our, in our medical notes, we talk about less severe or more pain, less pain, and all of that. How do you then go about in quantify them appropriately? The fourth step is to actually work on what we call as the relation extractions, where we begin to now understand in that knowledge graph what is the coefficient between cough and pneumonia and pneumonia and consolidation and the WBC count. So you start to actually zigzag, get a mathematical equation of that particular data point. And then when you have that in the knowledge graph, you can begin to question as to what had happened to the patient who received an antibiotic and what happened after 5 days of that pneumonia. Did the patient get better? And those kind of question answers that you can then begin to ask on the data and get relevant answers from them and understand it from a quality perspective. Now, what this does is a very, very important aspect when you begin to get these data points longitudinally over a period of time, you start to build differentiated database on your pneumonia pathway, or for that matter, any other diagnostic or, procedural pathway that you would like to build in your hospital and keep longitudinal data over it. And then at the end, when you give discharges of these patients, when they go home, you can then put them into a very precise care module by providing appropriate language translation. All of these can be done in an anonymized format and be delivered. And that is the 8 steps that we use in precisely in making these knowledge graphs and beginning to work towards the natural language processing for healthcare data.
Great. Amazing to hear that you're already exploring it. Yeah, knowledge graph that has been a helpful tool in many industries, particularly in pharmaceuticals and so forth. And we wanted to really capitalize that in Joint Commission. We are in a very nascent stages, I would say, in exploring the knowledge graph. We have a lot of work to be done, but it's good to hear that you guys are already doing it.
Thank you. So that brings a question, and possibly we are coming to the end of our podcast. I would like to know from you very quickly, what are the three major challenges, maybe two major challenges that you're facing in actually your entire data engineering, data management pathway at the moment at Joint Commission?
That's again a great question. So, like I mentioned before, we collect, external data, we collect paid data, we collect data through our accreditation process and standards and quality improvements initiatives. And all three different data sets are completely different. And one of the biggest challenge as a data owner in the organization I am seeing is that the data standardization, right? Ensuring the consistency and uniformity of data collected from healthcare organizations, which are following disparate systems, terminologies, formats for documenting patient information and clinical outcomes. It's a really, really, really painful process. There's no set standard mechanism by which you can standardize this data across all of these sources. So harmonizing these diverse data sources to facilitate meaningful analysis and benchmarking requires a lot of robust standardization efforts. So we have that challenge going on. The second I would say is the data accuracy and completeness. Maintaining the accuracy and completeness of data poses a significant challenge. Inaccurate or incomplete data can lead to flawed analysis, misinterpretation of performance metrics, ineffective quality of improvements, and all of that can happen. And healthcare organizations may face difficulties in consistently capturing and reporting data due to factors such as like human errors, variations in document practices, gaps in information systems, and so forth. So accuracy and completeness is a big challenge. So we constantly get data sets with, blank cells in data, which either need to be filled back in or reached back to the healthcare organizations to collect it back. The third I would say is the privacy and security, right? The privacy has been a big issue now. Safeguarding patient privacy and data security is in healthcare is a big deal. The Joint Commission is ensuring organizations to adhere to strict privacy regulations such as HIPAA is one big one, Well, collecting, storing, and transmitting patient data. Everybody's trying to monetize their data these days, but the exchange of data can have implications on patient data itself, and have a unexpected outcome as you would process this data. So involving implementing robust security measures, providing staff with the training on data privacy protocols, conducting regular audits, identifying and mitigating potential vulnerabilities are other challenges I'm seeing in the landscape.
Brilliant. So I heard standardization, I heard completeness, and the timeliness around the data, along with the accuracy of the data, and of course the privacy perspective. And if I have to add to what you are seeing in an input pipeline for the data, and I'm looking at an output pipeline where you are going to get insights from the data, I think one of the major thing that we are going to look at is how do we build this federated learning structure across the world in bringing together data consortium. I always regard Joint Commission as a larger consortium where they bring in hospitals across the world into a very similar format and doing that. And now we are beginning to work on that data consortiums with certain technologies like federated learning used by the cloud computing and others to actually, make the better utilization of the data. Take out what we call as the biasness from this data and to see, how do we go about ensuring that we get the right kind of insights from that. And that is very, very important because if we were to build models, we need to ensure that the biases are ameliorated, the risk out of the biases are being addressed, and therefore it has a sort of an insight that could be utilized by any ethnic or geographic population across the world. But the second challenge is this: to do this, you require there is an enormous cost component that we would have to see. How do we then go about in reducing cost of cloud computing and democratizing it to across the world would be a major challenge to come. So these are the two aspects from my side. Anything that you would like to add on to that, Joseph?
No, I think you touched upon a great point of the cost management. As the data spreads across, there's a huge amount of computation, and the cost associated with that is causing like a lot of ripples within healthcare organizations. And never the data is enough. So each organization need to invest in a diligent mechanism by which you should be probably moving and storing all of your data in cloud. And also make use of a la carte services available on cloud to make sure that you have right amount of processing, right amount of scaling capability on the cloud. Same way you have to store your data if you're not using it in a cold storage so that your cost efficiency can be managed much better. So I think you made a great point on cost side of things when you're working on eliminating biases from your data and also making sure that data is clear and clean before you start rolling out for models, right? So I definitely support those points.
Fantastic. I think we are already on time here. Joseph, it was splendid to have this conversation with you. And I'm sure that we would have many, many opportunities to have these and dig deeper into many of these topics. People who are hearing us on this podcast, they would have many questions, and we would encourage them to engage with us through the IHF platform. And it would be a delight to give and provide answer or hear people's experience going forward. So once again, thank you very much. Thanks all our organizers from the IHF and also from Vizient. I would like to close with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sujay. Thank you, organizers. Thank you, Vizient. Thank you, IHF, for having me on this platform today. And thank you, Sujay, for bringing out for all those valid questions, and appreciate all your feedback and comments. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you to Dr. Sujoy and Joseph for sharing your valuable and practical insights. I hope this podcast motivates our listeners to find out more about and engage with our big data roadmap, which is full of useful resources. Please visit www.ihf-fih.org for more information. If this topic is of interest, please consider joining the Big Data Special Interest Group. Details are on the IHF website.